To another episode of Soul Town. I'm your host, Reggie Jenkins, and We're going to take a ride down the old R&B lane, look at some of the hit records that came out of that great soul music era. He's one of the great groups from the past and the present, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Maurice White from Memphis, Tennessee, graduated from Booker T. Washington High School and built one of the greatest groups that's ever been formalized in the history of music. And his music is music that will always remain young. He would always remain young, and that's something that a blessing. And you know, but we have other hits like, you know, Smiling Faces, Tell Lies.
Come on. that lurks within. Smiling faces, sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces, tell lies, and I got proof.
Scruffin'. What Becomes of the Brokenhearted, Motown. It was one of Motown's early releases and was a big record for them. Let's listen to Whitney for a minute and see what she's talking about here. History, and she definitely deserves it. As we talk every week about my book, An Excursion in Soul, and how you can get it and how you can check it out, even just take a look at it. If you want to, go on to Amazon.com and pull up Reginald Jenkins, and you can type in the title, An Excursion in Soul, and come and look at some of the great things that were going on in the soul music era at the end of the soul music era, and some of the people in this that were still in the business as it was coming to an end. So go and take a look at that book and see if any information in there helps to understand what happened to some of the things. It was not only, even though the book was mainly the record company that is involved in the book was mainly out of Memphis, Tennessee, but there if there's information concerning other areas like Detroit and Philadelphia and Los Angeles and New York, and the book discusses, I mean, these are all the areas that the music industry was actually happening, particular time, and which New York and L.A. is the hub, and you've got areas where music just definitely flourishes, and those areas like Detroit, Memphis, Philadelphia, at that particular time, these were the areas where these things were happening. And go check it out. And these songs coming up right here are the first two songs on the album by Jay Blackfoot, formerly with the Soul Children. And the book is mainly, this is one of the main themes of the book, this particular song and the particular album, City Slicker, and the song Taxi. But we're going to start it off with the City Slicker album, and this is the way the City Slicker album began. And then we're going to check it out and get the soul music era.
Do not adjust the sound on your stereo. There is nothing wrong with your set. For the next 34 minutes, I will control what you hear and feel. You're about to be taken on a musical safari through the most ferocious jungle known to man. A jungle where the hunter is often captured by the game. This is a city, and you are there. Boy.
as fast as you can. Her new love is coming to get us. I'm going out of my mind, going out of my mind. She's my reason for living, and this is why I'm living. To run red lights sometimes, just as long as I get that long time. That's it.
Jay Blackfoot from the Great Stax singing group, the Soul Children. That's right, the Soul Children. And they were a soulful group. Okay, and we're going to look at another great vocalist and trendsetter and founders, co-founders or whatever of the R&B soul music era. And he always felt that a change is going to come. Mr. Sam Cooke from Clark Hill. Sam Cooke felt that a change was going to come. And that was a moment in history. And we are still looking and praying for that moment. And we're going to play Dr. King for a minute just to let everybody know this was smack dab, as they would say, in the middle of the soul music era, right in the middle of it. I mean, it was right in between Marvin Gaye and the Supremes. You know, it was, this happened during that period of time, but it was a great time. It was a sad time. It was a happy time.
Happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro has still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. And so we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summit of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until that is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hope that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content will have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. There will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But that is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We must fail to conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protests to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. The marvelous new militancy which has engulfed the Negro community must not lead us to a distrust of all white people, for many of our white brothers, as evidenced by their presence here today, have come to realize that their destiny is inextricably bound to our freedom. We cannot walk alone. As we walk, we must make the pledge that we shall always march ahead. We cannot turn back. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the fifth victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied. As long as our body is heavy with the fatigue of travel, cannot gain lodging in the motels of the highways and the hotels of the city. We cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote, and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, No, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I am not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities, knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Yeah. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring. And when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
Dr. Martin Luther King, from his great speech in 1963, and it's one that we will always listen to and love to check out. You know, we had some great vocalists in the soul music era. Some of them, you know, had so many hits you just don't know which one to play by. But I like this one right here. The great Luther Vandross. He's great hits from the soul music era.
I fell asleep late last night, and I dreamed that the night is almost half the day away. I just got up so that I could hear her say, she's still in love, and no one could take her love away. Ooh, love wakes me up every day, and I thought no one could ever make me feel this way. It fills me up every time.
Okay, we would love to keep everything jamming from now on, but we've come to the end of another episode, and this is Soul Town, and we always wish you love, peace, and soul.
You don't have to guess what's going on inside my head. Just try to know all the things that our hearts say. Listen to love and always get love to lead the way. Whenever you love, there's nothing better than love. What in the world? Reach for that star and go no matter. dream of me. She'd be in love just 'cause she'd wanna be. She'd wanna be loved. There's nothing better.